It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Wisconsin Public Radio is doing a series this election season on Wisconsin voters' relationship to, well, voting. We have six questions our reporters are asking 500 people around the state. Last week, we talked with Beyond the Ballot project manager Bridget Bowden about the first question, are you planning to vote? This week, we talked to Bridget about the issues that are motivating people to vote. Bridget, welcome back to the morning show.
Thanks for having me.
What is the single most important issue to you this election? Why? Call 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Bridget, we talk about this Beyond the Ballot initiative. What's the point of it? Why are we doing this initiative?
So Beyond the Ballot is a project that the news department decided to take on because we realized that we weren't doing a very good job of getting the voices of real people, regular people, on our airwaves. So when we're covering elections, we usually hear from the candidates, politicians, people who work for them, people who study them. But it's not very often that we hear from people who are actually affected by these elections. And even when we do hear from them, we certainly don't hear from them enough.
How are you finding these people?
So we have a goal of interviewing 500 people throughout the year, and that is a lot. So we are taking a couple of different approaches to find people, the first of which is going to events. We're talking summer festivals, you know, farmers markets, anywhere where there might be a large gathering of people. And we'll go and bring our microphones, in some cases set up a table and kind of do a like a story booth kind of setup and ask people our six questions. Another way that we're finding people is by deliberately seeking out groups of people that we definitely want to include in this project. Mm-hmm. So this would be groups of people who are underrepresented on our airwaves. So women, people of color, young people, senior citizens, veterans, really any group that we feel we're not doing
so
a good enough job.
So you're going to senior citizens' homes, you're going to veterans' hospitals,
right,
what have you.
Right, yeah. We're being pretty deliberate about making sure we include a really diverse group of people.
So I'm fascinated by this. I'm at a farmer's market, or maybe I'm selling something at a farmer's market, and you come up to me with a microphone. What's generally the reaction that people give you?
Yeah, generally people are really excited to talk to us. I at first was not expecting this. I was sort of expecting it to be a hard sell to get people to ask our questions. But the thing is, people don't get asked to just share their opinions very often. So I think generally so far people have been really appreciative to have an opportunity to weigh in because people have lots of opinions and all of these issues that are at play in the election affect people's lives, and they want to share their thoughts.
So you're asking six questions. We are talking today about question two. What is that?
Question number two is, what is the most important issue to you this election season, and why?
So I can imagine you're getting a wide variety of answers to this. What's the most common answer?
It's hard to identify the most common answer, but there are certainly trends, the hot button issues that pop up all the time in the news. People actually do care about those.
Let's start with health care here, Bridget. That's coming up in the survey. So what are people saying about health care?
A few different things. People are really concerned about the cost of health care, including prescription drugs. Also, the availability of health care. People feel like it's sometimes hard to get the care that they feel like they need. And also specialty care, like mental health care, people really feel like they need more resources for that kind of thing.
Wisconsin has a reputation for environmentalism. Is that an issue that comes up for you too?
It is. Environmentalism is one of the top issues that's come up in our interviews so far. People feel like climate change is something that's going to drastically affect the future. So I brought a clip. This is Gus Vanderwegen, who says climate change is the most important issue to him this election season. And he says that because he actually has family ties to Puerto Rico.
The environment, climate change, because I think there's a ship heading in the wrong direction and it's going to be hard to turn. My wife has relatives in Puerto Rico. And it was really hard for them. Well, her aunt passed away from complications, getting sick. The hurricanes are becoming more severe. So we need to do something about it.
Wow. Do you get that kind of emotional response from a lot of people you talk to?
Yeah, actually we do. Like I said, people don't get the opportunity to share what's important to them very often. So when they get that platform, they are very open. And a lot of times it does get quite emotional.
The Beyond the Ballot question we are talking about today is, what is the issue that is most important to you? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Bridget, a prominent Wisconsin politician, keeps coming up in people's reasons for voting, for good and for bad. Who is that guy?
It is Governor Scott Walker.
Gee,
no surprises there.
No.
So obviously, Governor Scott Walker is up for re-election this fall, and people have very strong feelings about him, either positive or negative. So in these interviews that we've done, he comes up quite a bit. People saying, you know, they will vote for Scott Walker this fall. They believe he should stay in office. They believe he's the best thing that's ever happened to the state. And then on the other hand, people saying that they think we need to vote him out immediately.
So another thing that is on people's minds always is taxes. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, people have strong feelings about taxes,
well, yeah.
Obviously. So it is also one of those big issues that is going to drive people to the polls, or they're telling us it is going to drive them to the polls. One thing that keeps coming up over and over again is the new tax law, Trump's new tax law. I've heard people who think it's great. I've heard people who think it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of opinions out there. I have a clip. This is Dirk DeSayu. He's from Onalaska, and he says taxes are one of the most important issues to him.
Taxes are a big deal, you know. I don't like getting my work check and saying, where's this all going, but not to me. You know, going to things that shouldn't be. You know, even if you look on your electric bill, what they charge you for this, that, and these, and it's kind of ridiculous.
Guns are a big issue. Is it a big issue here in Wisconsin?
Yes. So I have done several interviews with high schoolers, and the topic of guns has come up over and over again with that crowd. I did an interview with a group of high school juniors and seniors at East High School in Madison, and most of them had actually participated in the walkout where they walked from East High School to the state capitol to ask for tougher gun laws. And when I asked them what was the most important issue to them, they nearly all said gun control.
And are they voting?
Some of them will be able to vote. Some of them will not be 18. But those students who will be able to vote, they're very enthusiastic about it. They're excited.
So what else did people talk about?
People talked about so many things. I've just been so surprised at how many issues people care about deeply. People care about money in politics, rural broadband, the ability to get internet.
It's a huge issue.
It is.
Yes.
The ability to get internet in rural places in Wisconsin. Water quality is a huge issue, and the effect of large-scale agriculture on groundwater quality. Criminal justice reform, immigration. These are national issues, but they are also local issues here in Wisconsin. And of course, transportation and road funding is something that has come up over and over again over the last few years and is not going away this
election. So people are not happy about their roads. They want their roads fixed, or there are too many road construction projects. Please stop.
Yes, both.
So we've talked a lot about big picture issues, but we know that all politics is local. Some of the motivators for voters are kind of off the beaten path. Tell us about one.
Yeah. So this particular person has an issue that is very important to them. It's Lily Everett, and they care about chickens. Like backyard chickens.
This is a lot less of a big topic, but it's one that is important to me and my mom, and we've been grouchy about for years. We're not allowed to have chickens in the area I live in Verona. We love chickens. I mean, we'd also get eggs, but that's kind of just a bonus. We mostly just both really love chickens.
And I loved this because it shows that, you know, even when we're talking hot button issues, we're talking immigration and healthcare, voting is still hyper local. You can still vote for things like chickens in your backyard.
That is true. And if somebody that you're not reaching out to, or you don't see at a farmer's market or something like that, wants to actually participate, how do they do that?
Yeah, we would love people to reach out to us. So we have a couple of different ways that people can do that. We have a hotline that you can call if you want to answer one of our questions or all of our questions. So that number is 877-782-8942, and you can leave us a message that we could use on the air.
Okay.
We also have a survey online that people can fill out and answer our questions, and that's at wpr.org/ballot.
That's pretty easy. wpr.org/ballot. Bridget Bowden is WPR's special projects reporter. She is the project manager right now on our election year effort called Beyond the Ballot. Bridget, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Wisconsinites are thinking about a lot of issues as the election heats up, but a recent Wall Street Journal poll revealed that for roughly a quarter of voters, health care is still the biggest issue. Is it a big issue for you? Call us at 800-642-1234 and tell us your health care story. Are you afraid to lose it? Do you have coverage? What about Medicare? Are you stuck in the donut hole? Does Medicare cover what ails you? 1-800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll explore that healthcare issue for the rest of the hour with Ed Miller. He's a professor emeritus of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, and the co-director of the Center for the Small City. This is the first time I get to talk to you, Ed, but welcome back to the program.
Good morning.
So in an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll released earlier this month, just under a quarter of voters, 22%, said that health care would be the most important thing when they're deciding to vote in November. For those voters, health care beat out gun laws, taxes, immigration. This was before the recent updates on immigration and the economy as the most important issue. Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't, because health care is an essential services and with service, and that you really, I mean, you need it. Both been preventative, although some people miss the preventative aspects of it, but particularly when you get ill. And the cost of health care has rapidly risen over the many years. It was tamed for a number of years during the Obama administration. Its increase was about the increase of inflation, but now is increasing again.
So let's talk about the Obama administration. The Affordable Care Act was passed. It was his signature legislation. Earlier this month, the Trump administration asked a court to throw out major provisions of the ACA, including the clause that prevents insurance companies from discriminating against people with pre-existing conditions, which was the whole point of the ACA to begin with. Can you explain this?
Right. What happened was that the Supreme Court, in its original affirmation of the Affordable Care Act under its in determining its constitutionality, found it constitutional under the tax provision, the provision of the Constitution in Article 1 that allowed the government, federal government, to tax. And they said, well, if the Constitution allows it to tax, if individuals do not have insurance, they must pay a penalty, which they defined as a tax. Thus, they could do it. They did not decide it under another part of the Constitution, and that's the Commerce Clause. So having found it under the tax provision, this created the issue that now is before us. Because 20 attorney generals then filed suit. These are state attorney generals that filed suit. And what they said was that under the tax bill that was passed at the end of last year, the penalty, not the requirement, but the penalty for not having individual insurance was eliminated as of next year. And so therefore, if there's no penalty or tax, therefore all of that section under the all the protections under the individual part of the Affordable Care Act no longer are constitutional. The Trump administration and the Justice Department decided, rather than backing the law, which is the typical what the Justice Department does, it goes in and it supports federal laws. they decided not to support the federal laws, but to support the 20 attorney generals in trying to eliminate all the protections that are in the individual man, in the individual part. In other words, where you buy it through the market.
Right.
Yeah, but this actually may even go further, because a number of law professors have said that, you know, originally it was looked at as being restricted to those who buy it on the marketplace, not those who get it in their businesses, you know, group insurance. But they say that if it's thrown out, all the protections are thrown out for the individual market, it would also affect those who buy it in the group insurance, like from their employer.
So what you're saying is that Trump is not saying we need to get rid of pre-existing conditions. You're saying that the fight over the individual mandate will end up also getting rid of pre-existing conditions.
Right, and everything else. So all the limitations on all the limitations that are on insurance companies that come from the Affordable Care Act would go away if a judge rules in this way.
And what's the state of these lawsuits right now?
Well, right now, they're just starting.
They're just starting, and so they haven't even made it to the Supreme Court.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, it hasn't gotten to the Supreme Court. But it's been a couple weeks ago.
So they
could decide something in the next couple months, and then if the Supreme Court decides to take this up, they could be as early as next year. I mean, it wouldn't be this term. It would be because this term's over,
right?
Basically, and so they could do it next, but that would be moving fast. But they could take it up next year. It's so important that it's something that they may take it up. Although the Supreme Court has been avoiding controversial issues this year.
So let's talk about how this is going to affect the midterms. Opponents are saying that the Trump administration, if it does move to kill the ACA or weaken it further, this could be bad for Republicans in the midterms. We tend to think of conservative voters as being dead set against the ACA, but also there are a lot of conservative voters who relied on health care. So yeah. What do you think of this?
Absolutely. And what's happening is that the support for the Affordable Care Act has gone up. And people don't understand the Affordable Care Act. People don't understand, you know, when you buy insurance, when you get insurance on the Affordable Care Act, on the marketplace under the Affordable Care Act, people think they're buying some kind of government policy, you know, Obamacare or whatever. These are private insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They're all private insurance that they're buying. And so if you ask people about the Affordable Care Act in general, that support has gone up. But as you mentioned, Carrie, the support for all those individual provisions are very high. So you go in and you say to people, if you have a pre-existing condition, they don't have to sell you insurance, or they have to sell it more. People are against that. If you tell people that women are going to have to pay more for insurance, people are against that. If older people have to pay much more for insurance that are not under Medicare, they're against that. Because all these would come if the suit is successful.
You know, it seems to me that this was, you mentioned Obamacare. This was branded as Obamacare. This was branded as a bad thing. And there were a lot of people when they got their insurance who didn't realize that the insurance that they just bought on the marketplace and Obamacare or the ACA was the same thing. Is that driving voters now, or do voters understand more that the whole thing was the same thing?
No, I don't think so. I think you're absolutely right. They don't understand. I've seen surveys where they've gone out and they ask them, what do you think about Obamacare? Oh, that's terrible. What do you think about the Affordable Care Act? Oh, that's a good thing.
Right.
Not realizing they're talking about the same thing. But people have succeeded. I mean, we've talked about the increase in the price of the policies, you know, the individual policies have gone up. But some of that driving that price is clearly being caused by the Trump administration. Because what Trump did was he, by executive order, essentially eliminated the subsidies for those people who were low income. So those people who are low income, who don't qualify for Medicaid, and in Wisconsin it's much more limited than many other states because the governor did not take the expansion of Medicaid. all those people have to go out and buy it on the individual market. Well, for lower-income people on the individual market, what was happening under President Obama was that those people who were low-income had their co-payments and their other costs, deductibles,
right.
Their deductibles and co-payments paid for by the government, by the federal government. And the reason, okay, so what happened was he knocked that out.
Right.
So that subsidy went away. However, the law says that insurance companies must cover these, and that is actually in the law. So here you have insurance companies having a problem. One, they have to cover them, but second, the subsidies that they expected no longer exist. And so that's having a lot of effect on insurance companies. So insurance companies, to make this up, are either dropping out of their market, you know, and therefore reducing the competition, or they're simply increasing the price of these policies, and that's what's happening. If you look at security in Wisconsin, of Marshfield, the insurance plan, and you take a look at their financial statement, you'll see how they have suffered severe losses because of this change.
Right.
So it's affected... you know, here in Wisconsin.
So I want to know, do we have numbers on how many people, you said the ACA remains popular. How many people have dropped off the rolls because they cannot afford to buy the insurance and they can't afford the deductible? The deductibles are really high, too.
Right. It depends on what policies, because there's different alternatives that you can buy. Not a lot of people so far, but because one thing is the penalty still exists.
Hmm.
So they would have to pay that through their taxes if they don't have insurance. So far the even though the Trump administration decreased the enrollment period, so the amount of time people have to enroll was reduced,
mm-hmm.
and significantly basically almost eliminated what's called navigators.
Right.
These are individuals who go out and help people sign up, and you know, because you do it by the computer, and it's a marketplace where you go out and you look at various policies and you decide, very similar to way many people buy the drug benefit for Medicare, which is Part D.
We are talking to Ed Miller. He's a professor emeritus of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Today, our topic is healthcare. Is this the most important issue to you as you go into the midterm election in November? Why? Call us at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's turn our attention to Medicare. Most people think that Medicare is insurance for seniors, and it is. But most people who are not seniors also think that Medicare takes care of all seniors' health needs. And that simply is not true. Medicare doesn't cover everything, and seniors have to buy what's called supplemental insurance, which can be problematic if you're on a fixed income. The seniors I know, and there are a lot of them, are hopping mad about their supposedly free health insurance that actually costs them money. When you're talking to seniors, do you find this?
Well, yes. I mean, there's a concern about the cost of not only the Medicare, but the Part D, for example, in Medicare,
which is the pharmaceuticals. Yes,
the pharmaceuticals. And now people, you know, on Medicare, they're paying in. There's several different parts to Medicare. So one part of Medicare is hospitalization. That is the only thing that you're paying into when you're working. So when you're working, you'll see the deduction that you and your employer pays in that says Medicare. That only goes to one part, and that's the part that pays for hospital care.
Mm.
You're not paying anything in yet until you actually sign up for it for outpatient costs. So if you see the doctor or you're having blood tests and so forth, you don't pay into that. That part of Medicare is actually subsidized by the federal government. So the federal government under the taxes pays a substantial amount of that. So the premiums that you pay, and you do pay premiums, the premiums that you pay only goes for part of that.
And we pay premiums through our paychecks. A little bit comes out of our paychecks.
It's not through your paycheck. The Medicare Part A or for the hospital care is what comes from your paycheck. The other one is a premium that you pay for Medicare Part B, which is for outpatient and the like. That comes from your Social Security check, and you don't get it until you sign up for it, and you don't sign up for it until you're 65. So the big problem with Medicare is actually, interestingly enough, is the hospital one. And the reason the hospital one is more of a problem, because there is no federal money in that. I mean, tax money in that, other than the what's being paid for Medicare. And so that trust fund has to be paid 100%. The other one has a substantial subsidy from the federal government from general taxes, and that's Part B, and that's the ones that goes to outpatients. But as you originally mentioned, Carrie, seniors are having trouble paying, especially, for example, for Part D, which is going up. This was adopted under the Bush administration,
mm-hmm.
Part D, which is for pharmaceuticals. And some are having trouble paying for this, even though the amounts, the cost to them are low. But they are having problems in paying.
I know people who are paying up to $1,000 a month just for their medications, even with Part D. So I don't think that they think that it's low. But with this debate, what's interesting to me is that the pharmaceutical companies have pretty much been left alone. When Part D was instituted, there was no mandate. There was actually a law that the government couldn't negotiate for lower prices with the pharmaceutical companies. Is that true?
That's true. And that was put in the law. And they did not want the government, which would represent a huge number of people, basically all people over 65, who have Part D. The people who are working don't have to pick it up, who are getting their health insurance, so they're held harmless. But the other people have to pick it up, or when they pick it up, they have to pay more. So that there's a financial reason for picking it up at 65. But the fact is that when Part D came in, there was a donut hole put into it.
Mm.
And that is the amount of money that it doesn't pay. And consequently, people are paying a lot in the donut hole. But coming back to your original thing, that the federal government does not negotiate. But there is negotiation. Some people think there is no negotiation. There is negotiation that takes place, but they're by private companies called pharmacy benefit managers. And PBMs, or pharmacy benefit managers, negotiate for your insurance company. This is all private.
Right.
A lot of people think it's public, but this is, again, it's using the private market. So if you look at the Affordable Care Act, which was passed by Democrats, it is very similar in terms of the way it operates
it
with
is.
Private insurance companies as the drug benefit that was enacted under Bush.
Okay, we are going to talk about PBMs a little more and the donut hole in a moment. We're talking to political scientist Ed Miller about healthcare and why it's one of the most important issues as we head toward the midterm elections. We're going to take more calls after the news. It's the morning show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're talking about politics and the politics of healthcare. How will the issue play out at the polls in the midterms elections in the fall? Our guest is Ed Miller, professor emeritus of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Is healthcare the most important issue to you as you're thinking about what to who to cast your ballot for in November? Why is this? What healthcare issues are most important to you? Medicare, Medicaid, the ACA, protections for people with pre-existing conditions, pharmaceuticals. Call us 1-800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Ed, you mentioned before we went to our break, PBMs. PBMs are under attack by a lot of states. There are legislators who want to get the middleman out of the pharmaceutical industry. There are the legislators who say the middleman makes costs higher. Is that true?
Yes and no.
It's a very, very confusing issue. Why we have this middleman
Express Scripts, for example, as a PBM, it's a very large PBM. They negotiate prices of drugs with companies, and so they will negotiate, for example, with Merck or Pfizer, and they therefore do get the price of drugs down because of their negotiation. On one hand, on the other hand, they're all profit making. And so they will take, you know, some of the profit. And so even though the price of drugs come down, the consumer does not realize the full reduction in those prices because they essentially take a portion of it. And so some of them work differently. But we don't know exactly how much they're taking because they're private companies. Mm-hmm. And as a result, what they're taking and how much, you know, we know what they're making in general because they're on the stock market. But what they're taking of individual drugs, and they get money back from the drug companies and so forth, is not known. And so there's some pressure to require them to essentially give the consumer more of the money that they're making. So, for example, the Trump administration is trying to say that, in fact, is money that they get from the drug companies as reductions are really kickbacks and therefore are illegal. And so this is one approach they're trying to get to these PBMs. To say that if the drug companies give them a reduction in the price of the drug, they're going to have to pass along that full price of that reduction minus administrative cost. If not, essentially they're getting a kickback from the drug company, which is illegal.
So two things here. One, the Trump administration is arguing this, as along with many state legislators, Republican and Democrat. Is this a new front on the pressure on pharmaceutical companies and on drug prices?
Well, no. There's been issues with regard to pharmaceutical companies, with regard to prices. Some have been outlandish, like, you know, the increase in the EpiPen, and there's some other ones. But there has been pressure on pharmaceutical companies. Now, interestingly enough, drugs still remain a relatively small part of the total dollar spent on healthcare. Hospitals are still the largest part, but this consumer is more likely to pay out of the pocket more for drugs. And so, therefore, drugs appear to be more important to the consumer because of that. The other thing is that people are taking more drugs. There are more drugs available for different conditions. They're taking, especially older people are taking multiple drugs. And so all of this has significantly increased the cost of drugs. In addition to that, we have a whole new class of drugs, which are biologics.
Right.
These are drugs that are made from essentially human cells, living cells. And they're very, very expensive. So these may cost, you know, over $100,000 a year for these particular drugs. And so this whole area of drugs and the cost of drugs has not, I mean, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of smoke. There's a lot of people talking about reducing it, and there's been some moral suasion on companies to try to keep down the price of drugs, particularly pressure on the drug companies. But in fact is nothing has been done. Drug companies are very powerful and politically, and so consequently, it's very hard to. And not only are they powerful, but many members of Congress own stock in these drug companies, and so there's conflicts of interest there. So it's very difficult to put pressure on the drug companies. But the other thing you mentioned is it's not only the drug companies, but there's a whole variety of other individuals in this chain mm-hmm. of getting your drug from your pharmacy. I mean, you got your pharmacy, you got the pharmacy benefit manager, you got the wholesaler of the drug, and the drug companies. So the drug companies are not making the full amount that you think when you go to the pharmacy and you look at the bill.
But why does there have to be this chain? Why can't the insurance company negotiate with a drug company and you get your drugs for a less price?
That would be a good idea. That would be a good idea. And there's and there are in some cases very, very large healthcare providers are actually getting the drugs themselves from these drug companies, especially like hospitals and the like. And then you've got this several very large companies for their hospitals. And Ascension happens, which is in Wisconsin, bought out Ministry and some other ones in Wisconsin. Ascension is part of a group of several very large providers that say that they're going to make the drugs themselves for their hospitals. How this is going to work out, I don't know. Hmm. But they say they're going to do that. Then you have some very large companies, such as Amazon and the like, who have teamed up. And we don't know what they're going to do. I don't even know if they know what they're going to do. But they're going to supposedly negotiate directly with the drug companies for their employees. And so these are things that are in the works right now.
Okay, so we could spend another hour on private employers and entities and how they figure in on this. But what I want to know is voters are going to the polls. Who is going to impact their health care issues more, state people, local people, or federal people?
Well, I think it's essentially it's going to affect members of Congress, in number one. Those members of and Republicans, for example, are divided right now. Coming back to the suit that is filed, you know, there's conservative Republicans that are arguing we want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. We tried through Congress. We failed several times to do this. We promised to do this, and we're now going to do it through the courts and through administration through the Trump administration. There's other Republicans, the moderate Republicans, are saying, wait a second. These are popular issues, and these are dangerous things. It's like touching Social Security or even Medicare. These are what's called the third rail of politics. You touch it, you die. And so if you touch people's health care, they're very much going to be against it. Let's not discuss this. Let's put our narrative on tax reform. And to argue, you know, the tax bill and the tax reform, reducing people's taxes, even though it's mainly for the wealthy, the tax bill, and the ones that go to other people expire. But they say, let's emphasize that, not this health care thing.
Okay, so let's emphasize that in terms of while we're running for office.
Exactly.
Is there mistrust there that once they get in office, they will do something different?
Right. Well, they want to run for this. This would be the narrative that they want to give in this election. And they don't want to associate the knocking out, as we started talking about at the beginning, knocking out all these protections for people. We don't want to associate that with Republicans. I mean, people are going to, I mean, there's other reasons to vote against Republicans. I mean, people have, you know, with regard to the Trump administration and so forth. But we don't want to add this to the list. And, you know, this supposedly Democratic wave, you know, the blue wave, which right. may or may not occur, we don't want to make that even larger wave. And so the more moderate Republicans, especially those, and a number of them are from competitive districts, they're really worried that this could throw the election to the Democrats. So they're saying this isn't a good idea, and they were against the Trump administration siding with the 20 attorney generals, and they're concerned about that. They're hoping that none of these cases get anywhere before November.
Well, you mentioned, last question of the hour here, you mentioned Medicare, the third rail. Paul Ryan has wanted to privatize Medicare for a long time. Paul Ryan is leaving Congress. What is the future of that?
that probably is not going to happen. People on Medicare, but even people who are not on Medicare anticipating it, they're concerned that this is going to go to private companies. And if it goes to private companies to do this, and this would be in the line of the Affordable Care Act with private companies, premiums will go up and the like. The amount that would be in the vouchers that they would get, essentially people would get vouchers.
Right.
And they would then use those vouchers to buy insurance. But the fact is that those vouchers will not be enough to buy most comprehensive policies. And so there's so much opposition to this that it's doubtful that it will occur. Ryan pushed this as part of the Ryan budget, and the very conservative group in the House, have backed this.
The Freedom Caucus.
Right. But it's doubtful that that's going to go anywhere. But they better do something with Medicare, because Social Security is pretty secure for a number of years, and you could fix Social Security more easily. Medicare becomes a much more difficult problem, and one that comes up where they will not have sufficient money to pay all their claims in just a few years.
Do you see Congress working towards making health care costs lower? You have about 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, they're going to try. But right now, with the polarized Congress, it's doubtful that they can do anything.
This is Ed Miller we're talking to. He's a professor emeritus of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and he's the co-director of the Center for the Small City. We've been talking about one of the many issues in the upcoming election. Wisconsin Public Radio's election series, Beyond the Ballot, explores our relationship with voting, and you can share your story. Call our hotline at 877-782-8942 or go online to wpr.org/ ballot. Ed Miller, thank you for being here.